Here's a letter I want to read to you, dear Dr. Scott. It's from Gardena, California. Through the years, your writings, festival teachings, and Sunday messages have enriched our lives more than we can ever tell you. However, we feel the need to tell you how much your message written in the pulpit has helped us. It seems the words, "Fret not," were meant for us. My husband and I have always bent the universe to get things to go our way. What a major relief to learn how to commit our way to God and accept what happens. Thank you for being the wonderful teacher you are. We have a copy of the pulpit in two cars, our gallery, and by the bed. Both of us, for the first time in our lives, 4 years, have peace. For this, we are forever in your debt. We love you, and God bless you, Pastor. They give me their names, both King's Houses and King's Tiders. I always appreciate it. I always appreciate it when you tell me and the message that a message has reached you or that you've been helped with a teaching. I mean, even Jesus felt bad when only one leper came back to thank him. And he said, "Where are the other nine?" So I appreciate letters like that. Anytime you're helped. But right now, get to work. Now, you may wonder one of these funny-looking glasses I got on. Anybody wondering that? I usually wear glasses that don't make me look like I'm sitting with a white cane and a tin cup. I mean, I keep doing everything in my power to help my mother, whose joy of her life, the ability to read the Bible, is slipping away as the eye transplant or cornea transplant of some years ago has begun to not be as effective. And all of us keep looking for large print Bibles for her. So I decided to try something. I looked through a little dot and a piece of paper and decided that convinces me enough, I'll try it. So I got a pair of these pinhole glasses. Now, normally I sit here with two sets of glasses on. My colored glasses, because after 16 years, the lights have started getting to me. Staring at them probably more hours than anybody has ever done. And so I wear the color glasses, and I wear the second set of glasses. It bothers a lot of people, all the way to David Letterman, who seemed particularly bugged by it. But these pinhole glasses sort of intrigued me. I decided I'd try them out and see if they worked. You ever punch a pin in a piece of paper and then look through it and discover that you can see things that you didn't think you could see so well? Well, I don't know whether these things work for everybody or not, but they're doing pretty good for me. I have to have colored glasses for the light, or I wear them for the lights, but I still have to have reading glasses to read up close. I've begun to suffer that problem that comes with olderness, that your arms get shorter. I mean, you used to be able to hold things where you could see them, but your arms get shorter as you get older. And the blamed arms can't hold it out as far as they used to where you could see. Now, I see all you perfectly well. You can't see me, but I can see you perfectly well. But I can also read up close. I don't understand it. But it's sort of amazing. So I took them out, put them on my mother and said, "You tell me you can't read, put these on, you read this Bible to me." And she put them on and she started reading. Now, don't ask me to explain it. I don't sell them. I'm not getting a commission. Anything that's what we call in the business the PIs on television, where they promote something and then you call in your credit card number, which is always dangerous, and then sometime after you die, your kids get it in the mail. I steer clear of those things. And these current, since the FCC You know, either hang up or talk to the people. I'm starting to see the bad habit develop of voices of faith that want to listen to what I'm saying, and somebody on the phone that wants to listen, but they want to keep their phone. Face your phone calls. Don't sit there and charge me long distance when you can just turn your radio on and listen to me. Don't do that, voices of faith. Does that prove I can see?
Yes, sir.
It is not this author's intention. I'm reading from The Cosmic Conspiracy by Stan Deal. Don't try to buy it somewhere. We went through that once before. We offered them a few times, a few we could find. It is not this author's intention to waste the reader's time in a deluge of reported UFO sightings and contact cases. Although reference will be made to some five such incidents, it is felt that the majority of this discussion would best be spent probing the real evidence in an analytical manner. By the way, with these guys, you can read finer print better than the big print. The smaller the print, the better I can read. Because the little prints, see better through the little holes. This author's been asked many times, do you believe in flying saucers or UFOs? He has always answered, no, I don't believe in them. I believe they exist, but they aren't my God. October 21st, 1978. The incident occurred on a flight between Melbourne, Australia, and a small island to the south of Melbourne. Now, many years ago, I read this same incident to you. And now, so many years later, the evidence has continued to mount until this sounds like old hat. The incident occurred on a flight between Melbourne, Australia, and a small island to the south of Melbourne. An experienced instructor pilot for the Air Training Corps was alone on a routine night flight to King Island. His aircraft, a Cessna 182, was flying at an altitude of about 4,000 feet. It's obvious. I must be able to see the periods and the commas. The pilot, Frederick Valentik, was only flying to the island to pick up a load of lobsters for some of the officers of the ATC. His flight plan gave his estimated arrival at King Island at 7:28 p.m. Valentik had planned to make the round trip that same night and be back in Melbourne by 10 p.m. He never made it to King Island, or much worse, back to Melbourne. The official transcript of the last voice contact between the missing pilots and Melbourne's flight service unit was released 24 hours later by the Australian Department of Transport. It is self-explanatory. 7:06 p.m. The pilot asked Melbourne Flight Control if there is any known traffic in his area below the 5,000-foot altitude. Melbourne Control responds, no known traffic. Valentik, seems to be a large aircraft below 5,000 feet. Melbourne Control, what type of aircraft? Valentik, I can't confirm. It has four bright lights, appear to be landing lights. Aircraft has just passed over me about 1,000 feet above. Melbourne Control, is large aircraft confirmed? Valentik, affirmative. At the speed it's traveling, are there any RAAF aircraft in the vicinity? Melbourne Control, negative. 7:08 p.m., 2 minutes later. Valentik, Melbourne, It's approaching from east towards me. It seems to be playing some kind of game, flying at speed I cannot estimate. Melbourne Control, what is your altitude? Valentic, 4,500 feet. Melbourne Control, can you confirm you can't identify aircraft? Valentic, affirmative. 1 minute later, 7.09 p.m. Valentic, it's not an aircraft, it's... Apparently the transmission is broken here, but only long enough to miss the magic words. Melbourne Control, can you describe aircraft? Valentic, it is flying past. It is a long shape. Cannot identify more than that. Coming for me right now. It seems to be stationary. I'm orbiting, and the thing is orbiting on top of me also. It has a green light and sort of a metallic light on the outside. It just vanished. Melbourne Control, confirm it has vanished. Valentic, affirmative. Do you know what sort of aircraft I've got? Is it military? Melbourne Control, no. No military traffic in the area. 7:12 p.m., 3 minutes later. Valentic, engine is rough idling and is coughing. Melbourne Control, what are your intentions? Valentic, proceeding to King Island. Unknown aircraft now hovering on top of me. Melbourne Control acknowledged Valentic's last message before they heard a long metallic noise on his radio frequency. After that long metallic noise, then it was silent. Valentic nor his aircraft has yet been found. Subsequent interviews with the pilot's father, Guido Valentic, have revealed that his son had told him, quote, he had seen classified material at the Saleh RAAF base which confirmed his beliefs in the existence of UFOs. And there are comments in a later chapter on the classified RAAF UFO files. That's one incident. Another one? It's UFO night. Get on the telephone. I am reading reports of UFOs. This one from an old book that some will remember, The Cosmic Conspiracy, that we read from regarding weather warfare many years ago. And occasionally those festivals replay. But since it's Tuesday night, UFOs were in focus. This book reports five incidents. One I've read, now there's another one. April 25th, 1977. A Chilean Army Corporal, Armando Valdez, was leading a routine border patrol northeast of Santiago on the Bolivian frontier when he and his men saw an intensely bright light about a quarter of a mile away. It appeared to move too rapidly for any normal source, so Corporal Valdez told his men to wait for him while he went to investigate the flying light. A few minutes passed, and his men became a bit anxious for his safety. So they searched for him and found he had apparently vanished from the area. Suddenly, the bright light reappeared nearby. And then it too vanished. 15 minutes passed as the soldiers searched for their missing leader. Then, just as suddenly as the flying light had vanished, Corporal Valdez reappeared in the midst of his men. His haggard and surprised face had suddenly sprouted several days' growth of beard on his chin. His watch registered the correct time, which was 15 minutes after the light had left. But its date was wrong. It showed 5 days had passed. He collapsed after recognizing his men with muchachos. A few minutes later, He remembered nothing of his ordeal. Further comments were not offered by the military authorities at Arica on the Peruvian frontier, where the corporal was later transferred. How can a man live 5 days and 15 minutes? Just hope you're not abducted for several hours. September, September 18, 1976, a UFO was spotted somewhere over Iran. Two interceptor jets armed with missiles were scrambled to bring it down. Both jets found the target and fired. Neither direct hit had any discernible effect upon the UFO. Brief moments later, an explosion was heard. The details of its cause and its relationship to the deaths of the two pilots and the destruction of their planes are not available to the general public. The official U.S. Air Force policy on the incident was stated by Captain Kenneth A. Minahan of U.S. Air Force Intelligence on the 27th of May, 1977, quote, "A copy of an intelligence report concerning the incident was found within this headquarters. However, the Air Force does not have disclosure authority for this report." He went on to say that any further dialogue on the incident would have to be held with the Defense Intelligence Agency. The main clue here is that the issue comes under the Defense Department. Defense from what? It is interesting to note that Colonel Benedict L. Freund, commander of the U.S. Army Research and Development Group in Europe, had previously stated on 18 March 1975 that the U.S. Air Force had been doing an ambitious research effort into, quote, anti-gravity propulsion under the code name Project Blue Bolt, which is probably related to Project Blue Book, which is about UFOs. He added that he thought the Air Force was no longer conducting such research and that the Advanced Research Projects Agency might possibly be supporting such research for the U.S. Department of Defense. Colonel Freund felt it even more probable that such research was the responsibility of either ERDA, NASA, or NSF. Third, 8th of March, 1975. By this date, following a period of only a few months, the states of Minnesota, North Dakota, South Dakota, Nebraska, Kansas, Oklahoma, and Texas, along with various regions of Canada, reported the deaths of over 200 cattle due to some very bizarre causes. Some of the cattle had been surgically mutilated with such precision that no blood had spilled in the process. Others had been killed by having all their blood drained out of them without a trace of where it went. The area around these macabre killings were not, however, without some other signs of abnormalities. Tree branches were found sheared off in some spots, while other areas had traces of abnormal radiation. Still other areas sported strange-looking spots that appeared to have been caused by intense heat of some sort. The key clues in these events were the bloodless corpses and the strange burn marks on the ground. In 1905, the famous Dr. Nikola Tesla, whose work we discuss in the weather warfare festivals that I did some years ago and used this book. In 1905, Dr. Tesla published a paper on the effects of low frequency, high voltage, electrical discharges on human beings. The follow is an excerpt from his discourse. "My arm is now traversed by a powerful electric current. vibrating at about the rate of 1 million times a second. All around me, the electrostatic force makes itself felt, and the air molecules and particles of dust flying about are acted upon and are hammering violently against my body. So great is this agitation of the particles that when the lights are turned out, you may see streams of feeble light appear on some parts of my body. When such a streamer breaks out on any part of the body, it produces a sensation like the pricking of a needle. Were the potential sufficiently high and the frequency of the vibration rather low, the skin would probably be ruptured under the tremendous strain, and the blood would rush out with great force in the form of fine spray or jet so thin as to be invisible. Not mentioned here is the tendency to take various parts of the animal with surgical precision, including the sexual organs, and the excretion organs. Want some more? Don't telephone. The evidence for UFOs is overwhelming, and the evidence of government cover-up is overwhelming. My interest in teaching on UFOs is simply to prepare those who listen to me and work out their faith utilizing information and help we give through teaching here. Will not have your faith shaken when the revelation comes of what UFOs are. And I don't know what that revelation is. But I'm preparing you where your faith isn't going to be shaken no matter what it is, including little green men from other planets. So what? I have a second reason. In my constant pointing out of the hypocrisy and danger of faith in government. When faith in God is gone, and when God is made dead in people's perceptions, there's only one alternative for the supreme moral authority, and that's government. An Antichrist is on the scene. The reason the media is so prone to take government agencies at face value and attack citizens, they have no God. And this country was based upon and founded upon the acceptance of the principle there are certain inalienable rights that are inalienable and outside the bailiwick of government, because government can't give them, can't take them away, they're God-given. You remove God from the perception of man, it's usually done by those who want to make way and create a vacuum for them to step in the place of God. And government and religion are natural enemies. The founders of this country recognized it and created a balance and a separation of church and state. Churchmen are giving away their freedom, staying divided, running and hiding, I mean, it doesn't matter. I tell you over and over again, I admire black folk. I mean, a judge decides a Korean grocer shouldn't go to prison. Another guy who clearly is in a place to rob, hitting somebody over the head with a bottle, last I heard, and he gets a year in prison or whatever he got, and the black community lines up, or representatives of it, they don't even want to discuss whether or not the guy hit somebody over the head with a bottle. They want to defend him because he didn't get the same treatment as the Korean grocer. There is a difference. He was the criminal before the incident occurred. If the Korean grocer became a criminal, it was at the event as it occurred. That's basically the distinction between murder and manslaughter. But I admire their ability to just unite. I'm telling you, if the network had picked three prominent black clergymen and attacked them the way Primetime did, the whole black community had been up in arms. And it wouldn't matter that they picked three black crooked clergymen. It wouldn't matter. Or three Jewish clergymen. Government's crooked, media's crooked, and I'm out here to show you that. I hope you are getting used to us in Santa Fe and Albuquerque, New Mexico, and now Las Cruces, New Mexico. It's nice to just about cover my two favorite states in terms of natural beauty, New Mexico and California. I like the people, and I like just about all parts of the United States, but there's a quality about New Mexico, testified to by the Taos artists when they settled there years ago and founded the Taos School. Its beauty is incapable of being described in words. We try to show you some pictures at various times, and you folks who live in New Mexico know all about it. California, as crowded as it is still a great state of beauty. So we pretty much cover those two states instead of just hitting a little spot here and a little spot there. When we go into an area, we pretty much blanket that area. And we're doing what I came to Los Angeles to do 16 years ago, looking for uncommon people that have eyes to see light, appreciate being respected for their intelligence, which TV seldom does, and talk to, and taught, and who only after they've been taught, because that's the only way we allow it, will support and give testimony to the value of the teaching they've received. Now, tonight's the night we usually concentrate on UFOs, and I was doing that in the previous hour, which was live in most of the rest of the network, but then I got ticked off because I saw the audience settling down to be taught, and I still don't have my 3,000 out of 55,000 King's Houses that I demand, and that's the right word, I demand to call in and keep your commitments at least once a week. I'm out here looking for friends. I'm a teacher. If I did what I was trained to do, I'd be teaching in a university, and you'd pay the tuition first and buy a pig and a poke. I teach and collect the tuition after I teach from those that have already been taught based on what you think it's worth. Well, what if I don't think it's worth anything? Well, then you're stupid.
This is the end of Side 1.